I'm not afraid to die. que me amabas con tu alma. Esas promesas nunca te las creí, porque sabía que tú eras ya muy mala y no me amabas como dijiste a mí. La mujer que te echa la mentira no se confía ni se respetará. Ya por eso les digo, ten cuidado, con las mujeres nunca se jugará. Me estoy muriendo, me estoy matando por una ingrata que me hace tanto malo. Me estoy muriendo, me estoy matando por una ingrata que me hace tanto.
Sunday morning, everyone. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And you're listening to WMFO Medford Touch Freeform Radio 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, WMFO.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Oh, and you can also download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. And I'd love to get you involved in conversation. To do that, to call our new number, which is 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636, if you like numbers. Either way, you'll get me. 1-855-915-WMFO. Love to get you involved in the sports conversation. I'd like to know what's going on in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay, it's 4:18 here on WMFO in Medford. It's 45 degrees outside our studio. We'll have that weather update sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry coming up here on WMFO. So you stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, since we took us a little while to get ourselves together here, let us get right into the sports scores. Women's NCAA basketball, if you're interested. And the reason I'm interested is that after dominating women's college basketball for all these years, the UConn women were only ranked number 3 by the experts. They lost Breonna Stewart and a couple of other good players from last year's championship team. And they won 4 NCAA titles in a row. So I just want to see what they're doing and what other teams are doing out there. So we have some early women's basketball scores for you. Yesterday, Mississippi State defeated Maine 87-43 in what I would call a cupcake game. Nothing like padding the schedule with some soft teams so you can get a good record going into the rest of the season. Kentucky women 70, Alabama 46. Albany. I can't even read my own writing. Kentucky women 70, Albany women 46. DePaul 90, UAB 80. And West Virginia 88, Charleston Southern 38. And so you can see there was not much competition in these early games. Men's NCAA basketball, in case you're interested, Duke 96, Grand Canyon. Now, I know that where the Grand Canyon is, but I didn't even know there's a university inside the canyon. But anyway, probably not inside the canyon, but probably close to the canyon. Duke found them, however, added them to their schedule, and defeated them 96-61. Okay, I wonder whether Grand Canyon, I didn't write this down to see if Grand Canyon went to Duke or if Duke went to Grand Canyon. But anyway, Duke defeated Grand Canyon 96-61 in men's NCAA basketball. Okay, let's turn to football. We can call this Upset Saturday. Yeah, we were loaded with upsets. Alabama pounded Mississippi State 51-3, so they didn't get upset. But then the upset wagon just began to roll down the road as unranked Pitt defeated Clemson 43-42. I saw a little bit of that game. And then unranked Iowa defeated number 3 Michigan 14-13. And it kept continued as USC, ranked number 20, defeated Washington, ranked number 4, 26-13. So 2, 3, and 4 all went down the hill. And they fell and they couldn't get back up. Ohio State's probably going to move up. They pounded Maryland 62-3. Louisville 44, Wake Forest 12, Wisconsin 48, Illinois 13. Wisconsin 48, Illinois 3. Another upset. Unranked Mississippi defeated number 8, Texas A&M 29-28. Another upset. Unranked Georgia defeated Auburn 13-7. Penn State 45, Indiana 31. Oklahoma 45, Baylor 24. Colorado 49, Arizona 24. Oklahoma State 45, Texas Tech 44. That was a bond burner. I know Pierre was biting his fingernails after that one. upset. Unranked Georgia Tech defeated number 14, Virginia Tech 30-20. West Virginia 24, Texas 20. Nebraska 24, Minnesota 17. Boise State 52, Hawaii 16. LSU 38, Arkansas 10. Washington State 56, California 21. On Tuesday, Western Michigan defeated Kent State 37-21. On Thursday, Utah defeated Arizona State 49-26. And on Thursday, another upset. Unranked Duke defeated number 17 North Carolina 28-27. And on Friday, Florida State pounded BC 45-7. Not British Columbia, Boston College. 45-7, Florida State over Boston College. And I espoused last week about the fact that money isn't everything. As BC moved out of the Big East Conference, where they were playing teams that were close to their equal, and now find themselves way over their head. But the school's making a lot of money, but the ball club is getting pounded every week. They've won one game this year, and I think they won one game last year. Okay, so all those bowl games that they were going to, that's down the drain now. And anyway, that's my take on college sports, both basketball and NCAA football. Be right back, promise.
Thank you. half of young Americans can't locate economic powers like Japan and India. 20% can't even find the Pacific Ocean. Without geography, our children aren't ready for the world. Geography is everywhere. It's incredible creatures. Rhythm. Fashion. Flavor. It's economics. And politics. It's change. Understanding connections between people and places is critical in the 21st century. That's why we created MyWonderfulWorld.org to give our kids the power of global knowledge. Go to MyWonderfulWorld.org for your free parent and teacher action kits. Because kids who understand our world today can succeed in it tomorrow.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:30 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time on your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to the National Basketball Association. Excuse me. Last night, Lakers 126, the Pelicans 99, Celtics 109, the Pacers 99, Raptors 118, the Knicks 107, the Hawks 117, the 76ers 96, the Bulls 106, and the Wizards 95, Spurs 106, and the Rockets 100, Clippers 119, the Timberwolves 105, the Jazz 102 and the Heat 91, the Bucks 106 and the Grizzlies 96, the Pistons 106 and the Nuggets 95, and the Nets 122 and the Suns 104. In that Celtics game, Amir Johnson got 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. That's the kind of game we need from him on a regular basis. Kelly Olynyk, second game back, got 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Isaiah Thomas got 23 points, 5 assists, and 1 steal. Marcus Smart got 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Avery Bradley, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Jerebko didn't score, but he got 5 rebounds. Brown didn't score, but he got 2 rebounds and an assist. Zeller got 7 points and 6 rebounds. Terry Rozier got 11 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal. And Young came out of mothballs, got 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 steals. I'm just questioning, since Gerald Green didn't get into the game, and the games he's gotten into, he hasn't done much. I wonder if the Celtics should have kept Hunter and cut Green. I know they probably gave him a guaranteed contract, and he has the veteran experience, but he's new to the system, and maybe long range, Hunter might have been a better choice to hold on to, but it's the season is young, and we got a long way to go. And the Celtics have been doing a lot better recently without Amir, without Al Horford and Jay Crowder. And I believe Horford is on this trip, so he may get a chance to play in their next game, which I believe is in New Orleans on Monday night. So, anyway, the Clippers have been, I guess, the story. No one expected them to be as hot as they have been. And whether they keep it up and whether they have a shot at challenging the big guys out there, which are the San Antonio Spurs and the Golden State Warriors, are not. I don't know. I haven't seen the Clippers play all year, but basically it's the same team they had last year, but maybe because they're healthy for the first time. And Doc Rivers made the big gamble of not making any changes during the offseason, not making any major changes during the offseason. He did re-sign his son. I wouldn't call that a major change, but you know, hey, keep it in the family. Why not? But anyway, the LA Clippers are now 9-1. Golden State is 7-2. San Antonio is 6-3 after getting after a good start. Oklahoma City, playing in a very weak Northwest Division, is 6-3 also. Celtics are 5-4, trailing Toronto, who is 7-2. Cleveland is 7-1. And I don't know if they're going to sail through their Central Division, but they're starting to pull away from people. In the Southeast, Atlanta, surprisingly, is doing well, and so is Charlotte. So, hey, it's still a lot early, too early in the season as yet for me to make any definitive decisions about who's going to do what and where and for how long. Anyway, we're looking for a competitive season, and hopefully that's what we're going to be. The team, certainly, if we get Horford and Crawford in back, and they are able to Crowder back, and they're able to fit right in and move right along, and we get the continued good effort from off the bench, you know, who knows how far we can go. The prognosticators at the beginning of the year picking us as the fourth best team in the NBA, some of them anyway, but right up there, and the second best team in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see. Love to see a good competitive year for the Boston Celtics basketball team. Okay, let's 436 here on WMFO and Metro. Again, our phone number, you want to talk sports with me, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Same thing. If you don't like numbers, if you don't like letters, you can go to the numbers. National Hockey League yesterday. The Canadiens, 5 in the Red Wings, zip. The Sharks, 3 in the Lightning, 1. The Panthers, 3 in the Islanders, 2. That was an overtime game. New Jersey, 4 in the Sabres, 2. Flyers, 3 in the Wild, 2. Penguins, 4 in the Maple Leafs, 1. The Hurricanes, 5 in the Capitals, 1. The Blue Jackets, 8, and the Blues, 4. The Predators, 5, and the Ducks, zip. Bruins, 2, and the Coyotes, 1. The Rangers, 4, and the Flames, 1. In that Bruins game, there was no scoring in the first period. At 7:54 of the second period, Ryan Spooner got his third goal of the year with assists from Shara and Krejci. And then at 9:44, David Pastrnak got his 10th goal of the year with assists from Marchand and Krug. And in the third period, Radam Vrbata got his 6th goal of the year for the Coyotes on the power play with assists from D'Angelo and Larson. Rask had 31 saves, and Deminke had 27 saves for the Coyotes. I just have to wonder. With the way that David Pastrnak is scoring, what would the Bruins be like if we still had Tyler Seguin, who was one of the top scorers for Dallas last year? Even though Coach Julian treated Pastrnak last year like he treated Seguin. In his first year, where he didn't give him much playing time, primarily because he wasn't the prototypical Bruin, you know, banging in the boards and things like that. But hey, if you put the puck in the net, that's part of the game, right? And that's what Seguin was doing fairly well. And Pastrnak is coming along, and he's having a banner year. One of the top scorers in the league as far as goals concern. I got to look up his record to see where he stands as far as assists and total points. Maybe I'll bring that to you next week. But anyway, he's playing and he's doing well. And like I said, we could still use some more offense. He is on the first line now. We're hopefully going to get some more production out of the other lines as well. And since the emphasis was supposedly on speed and the younger players, like I said, I could not give you a fix on the Bruins because I have no clue what the younger players are going to do, how well they're going to hold up over the course of the season. It's a long, grueling season. And the vets are used to it. I guess they can pace themselves. The younger kids might find they hit that invisible wall, and the wall doesn't give. But anyway, we're going to see. Hopefully, you know, the Bruins can right the ship and keep on moving after a sort of up-and-down start. It's 4:39 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You need to call our new phone number, which is 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be right back. Promise.
Hi, my name's Frank. I'm the pedestrian you just passed back there. Yeah, you were going pretty fast. I don't even think you saw me. But it was partly my fault. I was on the cell phone too. It's actually funny because I drive sometimes myself, and I know how easy it is to get distracted with all those irresistible gadgets like dual zone heating systems and in-dash computers and satellite radio stations. I mean, what's so interesting about a pedestrian? Well, for one thing, I could pop out right in front of you when you least expect it, or I could be a kid chasing a dog. I could be in a hurry. Of course, I try to be safe. I use the crosswalks, I wait for the signal, I look both ways, and before I cross the street, I make eye contact to make sure you see me. But once in a while, either of us could make a mistake. So next time, let's, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more on driver and pedestrian safety, visit AAOS.org.
Nice seatbelt, by the way.
And the message is also brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, let's go to the National Football League. Last week, I could not give you the updated standings of the big contest that I have with my son Scott, my grandson Kyle, and our good friends Kenny and Bill. But this week, okay, I can give you the bad news. Scott's in first place. I had a good week last week, but he had an even better week. And he's now 81-50 on the season. I'm in second place, 79-52. Kenny and Bill are tied for third, 77-54. And Kyle had a good week also, but he's still trailing, 70-61 is his record on the week. And as we go into week number 10, I guess we all got off to a good start. I believe we all had the Ravens over the Browns. And the Browns, it's going to be interesting to see whether they win a game this year. I watched a little bit of that game. Ravens and the Browns are not going to turn me on a Thursday night. Got too many other important things to do. I just want to see whether Jamie Collins played, but I didn't hear his name called at all. So I'm assuming he played, but I wouldn't find stats. I have to go looking for stats to see if he made any tackles or whatever in the game. But what little I saw, he did not get mentioned. And anyway, the Ravens are over the Browns, so we all gain a game on that one. Now, going into today, I've got the Texans over the Jaguars. Osweiler wins on the strength of the better D. I got the Broncos over the Saints. Simeon wins on the strength of the better D. Oops, there I go, repeating myself again. I got the upset pick of the week. I got the Rams over the Jets. Not a big upset, but I think the Rams are going to pull this one out. I got the Eagles over the Falcons. And I could say this game is for the birds, but I won't say that. I got the Panthers over the Chiefs. The comeback continues, but the question is it too late? I got the Bucks over the Bears. Could this be my second upset pick? But anyway, we'll find out. I got the Bucks over the Bears. Maybe because the Bucks are at home. I got Washington over the Vikings, and the Viking ship are sinking rapidly. See, I didn't think that they were going to do that well without Adrian Peterson and the rest of the gang. But their defense is not bad, but they've had problems with as well on D. If you're playing D the whole game, you're going to get tired, I guess. I got the Titans over the Packers. This is my third upset pick of the week. Packers are having problems, and the Titans, I think, are hungry. I got the Chargers over the Dolphins. Phillip Rivers' numbers are impressive, but I still think he's overrated. But he should be able to beat the Dolphins, who are having serious problems. I got the Cardinals over the 49ers. 49ers are in a battle with the Cleveland Browns for the worst team in the league. I got the Cowboys over the Steelers. And I wonder, are the Cowboys the second best team in the NFL behind the you-know-who? Now, here we go. This is my upset pick of the week. really, really upset. I'm taking the Seahawks over the Patriots. And it's only because in our contest with my son and my grandson and our two friends, you got to pick against the Patriots at least three times during the course of the season. And I don't want to come down to the last three games of the season being a close race with those guys and have to pick against the Patriots. So even though I think the Patriots are going to win, I'm picking the Seahawks. So I come out a winner no matter what happens. The Seahawks win, I probably going to gain a game on the guys. If the Patriots win, I feel good because, you know, only I don't think anybody else is going to have picked twice against the Patriots thus far. And Kenny says he's picking the Patriots all year long, so he's got to have a fantastic year to overcome those three end-of-the-season losses that he's going to get. So, there we go. Oh, no, we got one more game. Monday Night Football. I got the Giants over the Bengals. And I don't think I'm going to be watching much Monday Night Football either. And they are talking, you know, it's interesting that talking about the ratings being down, I don't really think the ratings, TV ratings may be down. But there's so many other ways, because I didn't even know that there's no way for Nielsen to monitor NFL Red Zone, which is, to me, a godsend. Why watch a boring game all the way through with the commercials and everything? We didn't go to the NFL Red Zone, no commercials. And all you see, virtually, are the scoring plays, or when they're in the red zone. The plays that may lead to scores. And so to me, that's a boon to the NFL. And I'm sure a lot of people are watching NFL Red Zone who can get it on their cable. I don't think you can get it on regular TV. But anyway, that's probably why it's not figured into the ratings. And then the people who take their phones with them, and they got these apps, and they can watch the game on their phone. They can watch the game on their laptop. They can on their tablet, whatever. So I don't think NFL, and there may be some drop off, obviously. There are a lot of people who dropped off primarily because of the way some of the things are going as far as injuries are concerned. Like I said, I stopped watching boxing once I heard and learned, you know, what happens to a person's brain stem when they get hit in the head with a solid punch. And we've seen, you know, people like Muhammad Ali and others who suffered debilitating injuries because of punches to the head. And the football is, you know, a leading sport where injuries to the head occur. And so people may not be watching just because of that. You know, some women especially, you know, and some guys, you know. Like I said, I enjoy the sport, but, you know, you see some of the violence that's involved in there. It's like, you know, I don't watch mixed martial arts. I never will. Someone said that's human dogfighting, where anything goes, bite, kick, punch, scratch. who wants to see that? But people are jumping on the bandwagon as the sport supposedly is progressing as far as number of people who watch it are concerned. But to me, it's just like going back to the days of the Roman gladiators where they threw you into the Colosseum with the animals and the other people, and it's a fight to the death. And I guess mixed martial arts won't get any type of banishment until somebody dies in the ring. So there. Anyway, that's my perspective, and that's like it's the same thing with hockey. Hockey is a great sport, and it's rough enough. The sharp skates, the people got sticks. You can bang people into the boards and everything else. What is the fighting for? I mean, okay, you can get upset, but I think you should get tossed out of the game if you get involved in a fight. You know, especially if you precipitate the fight, or you know, whatever. I don't know how they would do it, but to me, if I'm watching a hockey game and a fight breaks out, I'm turning to another channel. I don't need to see that. But that's just me. It's 4:56 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, November the 13th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation, and to do that, you just have to give me a call. It's kind of late now, but at 4:56, but if you want to give me a call, I'll talk to you for the next 2 minutes or so. And our number, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back.